session number 10413, rule 17.
Mr. George Self, Rule 17. You were telling me about how you'd gone back to the MI room, the Regimental Aid Post.
Is the coffee on the other one?
Yes, you just said you were just about to have a cup of coffee.
I was having a cup of coffee with Sergeant Hart, and the Donar came, saying that I was wanted at Battalion HQ. So I said to him, I'll be up as soon as I've sipped this coffee. And I went up to HQ and I met the CO, second in command, the intelligence officer, one or two officers at that one. And they asked me what it was like over the other side. And I told them that B, C and D company had gone through my position, and what their positions was, I didn't know. And I said to the CEO, there's only one way to find out, isn't there? Get yourself over there, find out. Out! And the sergeant major said to me, you cannot keep that closed, can you? I said, well, the only way to find out is get over there and see. So I went back to the company and went for a round the company area. And when I came back, the sergeant major was standing with Captain Rydolch. And Captain Rydolch said to me, I am the company commander now. I've been sent to take over the company. So I said, thank the Lord for that. Take the load off my shoulders.
Did you mean that? Had you not enjoyed being company commander?
Pardon?
Had you not enjoyed the experience?
Oh, yes, I'd enjoyed it. But I knew, for what I'd said to the CO, that my life wasn't going to be worth living. And then about 1 o'clock, the Donar came up and said, Captain Rydolch was wanted at Battalion HQ, which was still the other side of the canal. And he went and he came back about 2 o'clock and said, right, we're moving forward through the other companies into Gail. And so we moved forward onto the outskirts of Gail. And took up a position, and it was a ditch, and all we had to do was just scrape a bit fire step out, and I went they brought an anti-tank gun up, so I went up with the anti-tank gunners to position this tank, anti-tank gun, told them where I wanted it, and I went for a stroll about. And I found a German officer and a Lance Corporal out of the Grey Howards lying dead. They must have shot at each other. Or he was a prisoner, one of the two. And I took his tallies off him and came back. And just after I got back, up came the food. And I was dishing the food out when there was a cart track at the back of me. It went so far along, then turned right and went back to where we'd come from. And this Captain Rydolch and the Sergeant Major were walking along this track while I was dishing the food out. And I said to him, going for a walk? No, we're going for a paint gun. There's a tiger out there. So I said, where at? Just out there, there's a tiger. Don't look at it, else it, no, we spotted it. And they walked on and turned right and went down And they just got so far down there when this tiger opened up. They put a shot down this lane, and the next one into the anti-tank gun, but was in my position, blew it up. And the next thing I knew, somebody shouting to me, "Jory Self, you've got to withdraw." So I said, "Who said so?" "Captain Rydolch." "Okay." So I never got my dinner. My dinner was still there. And we pulled out. And when we moved back, this tiger started firing down this lane. So I took my platoon into the field and cut across down to the main road. And we came up to D Company. And so we stopped at D Company. And I sent the runner to go and find Captain Rydell. Came back, couldn't find anybody. Well, then, all hell let loose. The infantry is coming down the road and the tanks is coming down the road. And the Canadian sergeant we had with us, there's a half-track came full of Germans, and he got hidden in the hedgerow and tossed a hand grenade in this half-track. And we got drove back to a main road. When I got back there, I found some of the remnants of the other two platoon. And I finished up with 42 men. But no captain, no sergeant major. So I was back to company commander again.
What had happened to them?
Well, we didn't know at that time, but the Rydell had been killed. And the sergeant major, what had happened to him, we didn't know. But the second in command came up, and I told him the predicament. I only had 40 men. And, right, report to D Company and make an extra platoon in D Company. By then it was getting dark, so we dug in. And during the night, we heard these Germans talking to the forward platoon of D Company. "All right, boys, just leave your weapons where they are. Get out of your trenches. And just form up here. And the Germans do take prisoners, and you're all bloody prisoners. Get up here." And they marched them off. Well, we didn't open fire in case we shot our own. And the next morning, Sergeant Major Brown went to look where this platoon had been.
Is that Bill Brown?
Mm-hmm. And we heard this spandau open up. And then I and Higgins and Michael went to look if we could find any of our lads on the other side of D Company, because that was where this lane was that they'd run down. And we found Billy Brown. This spandau had just nicked him, you know, shoving them in and getting the stretcher bearers and getting run away. I never expected to see him again. But we went into this lane and we found quite a few of our lads wounded, dead, one with his leg hanging off. So we got the stretcher bearers to come back and got them away. And then on the afternoon, Major English said we were going into the attack again and we were going to take Gale. And so we went into Gale. And I, with the remnants of A Company, took the left hand, and D Company took the right hand, and four tanks came up to this wide junction, and they lagered there, and two of them were knocked out in a crack, and they blamed somebody in the church tower for spotting them. And so three of us went up to this church tower, but we couldn't find nobody. And we stayed there. And my headquarters was in a cellar on this junction. And the signals came up and laid me a telephone on. And the second in command and Major Hampson, who was in charge of the carriers, I think, at that particular time, came. And I heard lots of things I shouldn't have heard. What they thought about the CO and one or two more.
What sort of things were they saying?
Well, the same as what I'd said. And he still hadn't been. Still hadn't been. And we were the forward company. Never seen him.
It was a widespread bitterness against the CO.
Mm-hmm.
And the CO's name was?
Oldham. And
I believe he also, was it then that he had a go at you about when you'd retired?
No, when we came out.
Okay, we'll come to that then. Okay.
And I was digging in. I'd moved up from this cellar because I didn't want to hear what they were talking about it. I mean, they should have had more sense and talk in front of me in a runner. And we went out and we were digging a slitty. And we're digging away and there's a pair of boats appeared. When I looked up, it was the seal. And I says to him, "Where's the band and bugles? I've had enough of your insolence. Sound self, any more of it, and I'll remove you." And away he went. And we were there till the next day, the following day, I think it was, when we were relieved.
Was there much street fighting, or was it fairly?
There was, where D Company was there, it was quiet at my end. We never saw a German. Major Beatty, Major English, was wounded, and we saw him come. They brought him out in a 1500 weight on a stretcher, and the morale just went like that because that was two we'd lost in this particular.
Beatty had actually died as a result of his wound,
but we didn't know that then.
But you knew he'd gone.
We knew he'd gone. And as I say, the following day, we were relieved, following night at least, we were relieved by a Scotch regiment. And they were relieving us, and the following morning they were going to put an attack in and ship them from Gail. And we came out and loaded into trucks, and we were brought back by, and my men were allocated a field. That's where we had to dig in, and that's where we were going to be for the rest period. And the CO came and said to me, "On whose authority did you withdraw from Gail on the first day you went in?" And I said, "Captain Rydolch sent orders for me to withdraw." And he said, "But where is Captain Rydolch?" "I don't know where he is." "Are you sure you were given orders to withdraw?" So I said, "Yes, I was given orders." And I said, the man that gave me orders was Lance Corporal Peachy. He was a Liverpool lad. So I shouted down, is Lance Corporal Peachy there? Yes, sir. Come here. And I said to him, who gave you orders to tell me to withdraw? He said, Captain Rydos in the Sergeant Major. Said, are you satisfied, sir? And he walked away. But he intended there and then he was going to have his own back. The next day he came to me again and said that he was disbanding A Company because there were only like three sergeants and 32, I think it was, 32 other ranks. And that we would go so many to each of the other rifle companies. And I went to B Company. And we were there well, 4 or 5 days, I think. When word came that the battalion had been awarded the DSO for the crossing of the Albert Canal. And I was in the Little Sand Smith's. And I was in the Sand Smith's with, and I was sitting down to one of the Brengun carrier sergeants, Churcher. And he had no time at all for the CO. And the CO came in, and Charlie was sitting facing me, and the CO came in behind Charlie. And just as he got up to Charlie, Charlie says, the battalion's on a DSO, and there's a bloody man there, wears it on his chest. He hasn't got the bloody chest to carry it. And there's the CO standing behind. So I tapped him on the shoulder. There's the DSO. And he says to me, I've got some good news for you. So I said, oh, yes. What is it, sir? Reinforcements are arriving tomorrow. And we are reforming A Company. Champion. So the next day, I was sent for Italian HQ. And there was a major and 2 second lieutenants. And one was this lad I was telling you about it last night, out the IOS. He was my platoon commander. And this major had come from Sandhurst. He'd never been in action all the war. He'd been an instructor or something there. And the CO came down to where we were going to be billeted. And he got me, Higginson, and Sam Michael. And he said to this major and these two officers, now you've got three of the most experienced sergeants in the battalion here. Look after them, and they'll look after you. And if you want somebody to know something, don't be frightened to ask them. And on the Sunday, the Arnhem do was going ahead. And so we were all briefed, and again, we were in reserve. And we were going to go up behind the guards armoured to break through to Arnhem. And it was a very narrow front. And Germans could cut it anywhere they had a mine. And it was our job to mop up And so we set off for Arnhem. And we got to Nijmegen. And he'd flooded the low country over the bridge. He was shelling the bridge while we were crossing it. And it had a big hole in the middle. And we then did an attack on Elst. And the start line, the attack was going in at 8 o'clock in the morning. The start line was a big 6 foot ditch. That was the forming up line. And at 8 o'clock, there was a 10 minute barrage going down, 100 yards in front of us. Then it would lift 50 yards every minute after that. 8:10, we went over the top. That was the timetable. While we were in this ditch, when the artillery barrage started up, there was a gun firing into this ditch. And I said to this major, get under the artillery OP and tell him there's a gun firing shot. And he said to me, forget about the gun. I said, it didn't matter to me, Major, whether you get it lifted or not. But at 8:10, when you blow that whistle, you'll be on your own. Nobody will go. He blew his whistle. Nobody moved. So he went shouting and along the line, go on, go on. And this left hand of mine moved forward. And my platoon goes with him. And he got about 10 yards and there's a one drops, they're down. And I said to this major, look, for you and nobody else, mind, till you get that gun lifted, we are not moving. And he says to me, you will move because I love your car, master. I didn't give a bugger what you do. That gun is hitting who's? It's killing men. And just then Iggy came up and he said, the OP's over here, do you want him? I said, aye, boy, what's Murray hasn't got that gun lifted? And just then there was one dropped just alongside me and this major. And he says, get that gun lifted. For God's sake, get that gun lifted. And I was laughing at that book. Anyhow, he got the gun lifted and away we went, but we were behind time. And this little liar, this young lieutenant that was me, shot after the barrage had lifted, the Jerry popped their heads up and he shot at Jerry and he fell down. So I run forward to take over the platoon because I thought he'd been shot. And I looked at him as I passed, nothing the matter with him. And he'd fainted. And so I went ahead and we got to our objective and it was a line of houses. Well, normally you go to the other side of the houses so you've got a field of fire. So this major says to me, right, I want these houses searching. So I searched the houses and we got about a dozen prisoners. And I went in this first house and the Dutch houses, they have a barn on the back, you know, attached to the houses. And it was full of ammunition, German ammunition. And we got three prisoners out of there. And one was... Two were old men. This one was a young blonde. And there was a man crying in the cellar. So I jumped down in the cellar. And there was about six in this cellar, old man and old woman, a man and his wife, there's another man, and this little bairn, about 7 or 8 year old. And this woman, her leg was bleeding, been, I thought it was shrapnel, but it wasn't. Found out it was a bayonet. This blonde bayonet had bayoneted her, and he'd been trying to rape her. And the bairn, it was its mother, he'd bayoneted him as well, there as well. So he didn't get very far down the road. And then this lady said to me, I want you to dig in behind these houses.
So the German was accidentally, I don't know how you put it, but he was shot.
Dig behind these houses. And I said, what about the fail of fire? Who the hell do we fire through? You dig in there. So, well, you're the boss. And while I was digging in with my platoon back these houses, the other two platoons was had a field of view, but I had nowhere. The CO walked on the scene. And he says to me, what the hell are you digging in here for? So I said, you better go and ask the major that. I wanted to go in front of the houses into that field, but I'm told I have to dig in here. So he said, right, where's the major at? So I said, down the cellar in that house there. That's his company HQ. So he went in, and the runner came back. You wanted you, Iggy, and Michael. So I went in. And the CEO said to this major, didn't I tell you when you came to join this battalion that you had the three most experienced sergeants? They know what to do. If you don't know what to do, they will tell you what to do. And he says to me, you go and get a field of fire, not hiding behind bloody houses. So I had to go and get my platoon and ship them forward. So at night time, we were all dug in, and there was a listening patrol had to go out, a recce patrol, an officer and two men. And one of these young officers had to go out, and again, lack of experience, he went out, and he had to go up, and there was a road, maybe 600 or 700 yards away from us, there was a road, go along the road, and come back through D Company. And he went out. He was only out about 5 minutes at the most, and came back with his two men. And I said to him, what's the matter? He said, oh, there's a machine gun out there. Better go and tell the major. So I went and told the major, and the runner went to Battalion HQ and said the patrol had gone out and bumped a machine gun and come back. Sergeant Self, take over the patrol. So we went out, and what it was two cows in the corner of a field. And we went out and we reached this road, no trouble at all, and crossed the road and went back. And when we turned to come into D Company, is Jerry dug in. So we went back across the road, came back towards where we'd started, about halfway, and came in that way. And I reported to the battalion HQ that there was about 20 trenches with Germans in. And the next morning they put a barrage down, cleared the lot.